Well, I want you to know I always loved my coaches. Growing up, from the time it seemed like I was in elementary school, my heroes were my coaches. I wanted to be a coach. That's why later on I went on to college and got a 2 degrees and coached in college and coached in high school. I always wanted to do that. But, you know, I really wanted my coach's approval. You know, I just love that. I want to tell you this. I remember I was in the sixth grade. And it was the summer parks and recreation in Meridian, Mississippi. Now, Meridian was a fairly good-sized town for Mississippi. We had 12 elementary schools. And at the end of the summer, they came together for sort of this big track meet in which all 12 elementary schools would come together, and they'd have all these different sports. Well, my coach, who I look back and now I realize he was just a college, you know, he's a college guy working for the city for the summer. But I just loved him. I thought he was the greatest. He said, J.B., I'm entering you in the 25-yard dash, you know. Back in the day, that'd be the same as the 100 meters for all us elementary guys. So I was going to run in the 25-yard dash. Well, I really wanted his approval. And I can remember that only one from each school got to enter, so there were 12. And we had two heats, 6 and 6. And so I was in the first heat, and I can just remember this is like my first real race. I mean, you know, raced in school, but this was like a track meet, you know. And I'm sitting there going, boy, you know. And we didn't have starting blocks, so we had to get like this. And of course, they shot the gun, and I won my heat, you know. And I'm going, wow, I won my heat. And the coach came over and said, okay, now there's a finals coming. You're going to be in the finals. And so they took the top three from one heat and the top three from the next heat, and they put us in there. And I can still remember lining up, and it was a cinder track in those days. Cinder track. Times were not that wonderful. So I remember you had to dig in. You had to dig your foot down to dig in. And I remember that guy shot that gun, and I won. And I was just, you know, I'm pretty quick. Anyway, so I won. And I can still hear the coach, you know, saying, great job, great job. And it meant so much to me to have his approval, to have won the race and have his approval. Well, you know, these are the same words. Someday we want to hear from our Savior Jesus Christ when we have run the race to get the prize. And he says, you are dokimos, which is the Greek word, which is you're approved. Well done. Good and faithful servant, you have gained the prize. And so the prize that day was a certificate. It wasn't even a trophy, but it was a certificate, but it was still great. And Paul reminds us of this great truth at the end of this passage where we see him talking about ministry. And he says, run the race so you get the prize. Well, as we finish chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to see some of these great truths. Let me give you the passage, 24 through 27 tonight. We're going to see the charge to get the prize. That's verse 24. We're going to see the manner. How do you do it? He's going to talk about the athletes who compete in games, and then he talks about himself. And then finally, he comes back and says, here's the goal. The ultimate goal is God's approval. It's to hear God say, well done. That's what it's all about. We'll see it as we go through the passage. Let's start with verse 24. And this is not a real long passage, so we'll go through it fairly quickly. And at the end, if you have questions or comments or input, we'll do just like we always do. But I want you to see it. First of all, the charge. The charge to get the prize. Look at verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way, or run in such a way that you may win. Now, he starts off with this charge, and he's talking about running a race, and he's talking about getting the prize, and he's really saying, what I want you to do is you get the prize. Now, he charges the Corinthians, and he's really going to talk about himself in just a second, and then all of us could look at this and say, well, that's really us. I mean, he's talking to us. He's saying the same thing. We're all in the race of the Christian life. We got to run the race. We want to get the prize. We want to hear him say, well done. So he starts off by saying, do you not know? And the way it's written in the Greek, he's reminding of something that they do know. They already know this. They know that there are races and people run in the races and those kind of things. There were the games where Corinth was. They were called the Isthmus Games. And they happened every 3 years, and people would come together every 3 years, sort of like Olympics. Olympics every 4 years, but the Isthmus Games in that time were every 3 years, and they would come together, and there were certain things they would run, and they would jump, and they would wrestle, and they did all these different kinds of sports. So Paul is saying, don't you know, and they do know, that those who run in a race all run. And the races weren't exactly like ours. Sometimes the only races were just straight races, you know. They weren't running around curves and all those kind of things. And so he says, don't you know everybody runs in a race? They all run, but only one receives the prize. He says they run to get the prize. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes you read this and it says, don't you know that all who run in a race all run, but only one gets the prize? Run that you may win. And then you might think, wait a minute. He's saying we're all in the race of the Christian life, but only one of us is going to get the what? the prize. That's not what he's talking about. Because see, in a race, in the Isthmus Games or Olympic Games, they run and one does get the prize. But in the Christian life, you're not racing against the other Christians. See, you're not competing against them. We're running for the glory of God. So everyone in the race can win the prize. That's why he says, so run in such a way that you may win. I think it's pretty incredible to know that we're not in competition with each other. The different gifts, talents, and abilities that each of us have, we're not over there comparing and saying, I'm going to try to do better than this guy, or we're going to try to be better than these people. That's not even the point. To run the race to get the prize has nothing to do with the other people in the race. Because you're running for the glory of God, not to beat somebody else. That's not how it works. So he says, you know that all those are running a race, they run, but only one gets the prize, and that's human thing. But you, what you need to do is run in such a way that you win. We all can get prize. So he says to run in such a way that you'll be rewarded. Now, in this passage, Paul has talked about his motive. His motive was to proclaim the gospel. His ministry was to proclaim the gospel. His motive was to see people trust Christ. And the charge and the ultimate thing was to get rewarded. And so he says, run so you may get the prize. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we just started in Sunday school a study on rewards. And I figure it'll take about 4 weeks because it's not a real long study. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. But there are a lot of confusion about rewards. And a little bit later in this message, in the passage, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the difference between salvation and rewards because some people are confused. And people cannot grasp this. And they don't see the distinction between eternal life salvation, which is a gift and cost us nothing, and serving God and living for Him, which is rewards, which cost us everything. He says, live in such a way that you will be rewarded by Jesus Christ. For just a second, stop and think. Okay, right now, if my race ended tonight and I stood before Jesus Christ, would he say, well done? Would I have his approval? Or would I be, as this passage says at the very end, would I be adokimos, which means no approval? What's it going to be like when you stand before your Savior? Because you will. We all will. Each one of us individually, we'll see it more in just a minute. So the charge as we begin is to run the race so you get the prize. Now, we talked in Sunday school about that some people think it's selfish. They say, oh, if you serve God to get rewards, that's selfish. No, it's not, because he's told you, I want you to get rewards, and I want you to run in such a way that you will be approved. So it's not selfish. It's actually his command to you to do that. Second thing we want to look at is the manner. How do we do this? And he's going to really do, I think, two things. First, he's going to look at the athlete. And then second, he's going to look at Paul himself, okay? So he's going to talk about the athlete, how the athlete does it, and how Paul did it, okay? And he's going to use that analogy. And notice, he talks about the procedure for the games. Notice verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Now, notice how he starts off. He says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. To compete in the games. Now, it's pretty special there. He's saying all of the athletes who were in the games, when they did that, when they had to have self-control. Now, he starts off with a very special word. The word, if your Bible's like mine says everyone who competes in the games. The word competes is a really special Greek word. It's agidzonigdomai, which means we get agony from it. It means to strive for the rewards. It means to work hard. We take the word agony, you know, and he says, everyone who's agony in the games exercises self-control. They carry out self-control. For those in the games, it was self-control. What is self-control anyway? It's when you are able to do what you're supposed to do. That's what self-control is. You have control over yourself. You have control over your body. You have control. There are people who are at mercy of their emotions and their desires, especially the desires of the flesh. There are people who say over and over, I just couldn't help it, or I couldn't stop it, or I couldn't help myself, or I couldn't do this, or I just can't get up, or I just can't make myself study, or I just can't do this. They can't. They're saying, I can't control myself. When the alarm goes off and it's time to get up, can you get up? Can you get up? And there are a lot of people who say, well, I just reached over and I decided. You decided? You had already decided. Don't set it at 6:30 if you're not going to get up at 6:30. I mean, learn to control yourself. So he says, everyone who competes in the games exercises this self-control in all things. Let me give you a little background on the games. When a person, they all came from cities, and usually from the cities, they would pick out one or two people from their city to compete in the games, representing their cities, and all the city states came together for these Isthmus games. Well, they would train for a long time, but then what they would do, the final 10 months before the games, They had this special regiment in which they would train in their cities, and then the final 30 days, they all came together in a place called a gymnasium. You know what gymnasium means? The Greek word gymnos means naked. A gymnasium, see, they did the games and they did their things without clothes on. It's just how they did it. That's why it's called a gymnasium, the place of the nakedness where they compete. And though for that last 30 days, they trained and they had these special diets. They had coaches that came into all of these athletes and they had their rules. And if you broke any of the rules, you had to go home. You didn't get to stay for the games. They were very, very strict on what they do. I've told y'all this story, but you know how rules, some people say, well, that's just a little bitty thing. I coached a decathlon man at Mississippi State that made the Olympic team in 1980, and he was a great one. I mean, he was great. He was 6'4", 210 pounds. He could pole vault. He could high jump. He equaled American record in the decathlon high jump. He was a great athlete. And we were in the SEC championship, and in the first day you ran five events, the second day you ran five events. It was the end of the first day. The final event was the 400 meters. My guy was already leading everybody by almost 1,000 points, which is huge. He's an Olympic guy. The last event that day is 400 meters. He was really good in 400 meters. They shot the gun. My guy's running up a storm. He's the best. I'm watching him. I'm going, keep going, baby, keep going. He's coming around, comes around a curve, comes through. He's way ahead of everybody else. I looked at the clock. I said, that's pretty good. That's going to put him way ahead. But I looked up. I looked up, and that's what I heard. I heard that noise. I looked up, and the official was waving this red flag, which you know what that means. Somebody did something wrong. And he was pointing at our Olympic guy. And they said that, see, he was running around the curve on the final curve, and there's the line, you know, and he stepped on the line three straight steps. You can only step on it two straight steps. You got to stay in your lane. If you happen to step on the line, you just can't step on it three steps in a row. You can step on it two steps in a row. He stepped on it three steps in a row, and they disqualified him, and he got no points. And he went by leading for 1,000 points to being in sixth place. Still beat half the people right there with only four events. He came up and still won it the next day. But that day, people say, wait a minute. Listen, he just barely stepped on the line. Didn't matter. He's out. Broke any rule. Out. They had to exercise self-control in all things, not some things. What do we do? You got to control yourself. That means when you want to start, when you should study, you study. We need to, when it's time to pray, we pray. When it's time to have our quiet times, over quiet times. When it's time to go to church or go to a class or be at a Bible study or something, we do that. We do what we must do in order to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And it takes discipline to do that. See, the Christian life is not, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen automatically, and you don't just grow automatically. That's why the Bible is a command to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by it. There's continually commands to run and to walk worthy and to do these kind of things, but they don't just happen. And if you just drift, you won't grow. You'll go the other way. So it's discipline. And so as Paul says, everybody who competes in the games, they exercise self-control in all things. They have to do that. Why? And you know what? Then they do it so they can get this perishable wreath. But we, an imperishable. Now he said they do it so that they can get this wreath. And you know, at the end, that's what they got. This little deal they put on their heads, and it eventually just fell apart. So it wasn't something like it's set up forever. Now, some of the hometowns, when they'd go back to the towns, some of the traditions say that they would actually knock a hole in the wall of the city, and the athlete who won would come back through the hole in the wall, and they would make it a new gate and name it after him, and they would put a statue and those kind of things. Some they say that's traditions. But he says they get an award, which is this little wreath, and it wears out. He said, but what do? When we run the race to get the prize, we don't get a wreath that wears out. We get something that's imperishable. See, the rewards that we get from Jesus Christ are eternal rewards. People are so confused, they don't even know what you're going to get, and they don't know how long you're going to get it. Well, you're going to get some great things, and you'll get some responsibility and privileges, and all this, and it's forever. When God rewards us, rewards are forever. It makes a difference on how you live now, not for eternal life, but for the rewards that you receive that go on forever. I want you to do something. Turn, just hold your place there and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a very famous passage. And I want you to see something as you think about rewards for just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. This is, most of us know it, but I just want you to see it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. This is a great passage where he's talking about being pleasing to him and doing all this. Look at verse 10. He says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for the deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, when you look at this verse, three things stand out. And I think we've got them. It should be the next one if we've got it. Three things stand out. That we're going to all stand, we're going to be rewarded, and the basis for this judgment reward is our works. Now, let's stop for just a second. Here's what he says. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The first thing I want you to understand is all of us will. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all appear. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you will appear before your Savior. Second is the basis for this. The thing that we're going to have there is the rewards. Notice he says, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word bema is for rewarding seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed. The word recompense means to be given back. He's going to give something back to you. You served him, he gives it back. He gives you rewards back. And the basis for this is your works, your deeds. Notice he says, according for his deeds in this body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. The word bad literally means worthless. It means like rotten fruit. That's what the word really means. So he says, whatever you've done, whether good or worthless. One day you'll stand before Jesus Christ and you won't get something that's perishable. You'll get something that's imperishable. You will stand before him. You will be rewarded, and it'll be based on how you live for Christ. Now, once again, and I've got to make sure you understand this, how you live for Christ has no bearing on your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny comes by faith in Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Christ for eternal life, you will be with him forever. If you do not put your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life, you will be separated from him forever. That's the dividing line. But it has nothing to do with works or goodness. It's faith in Christ. Now, rewards, they do have basis for works, goodness, how we live, what we do, how we serve. So he says, we must all appear before the rewarding seat, the judgment, the bema seat of Christ, that each one of us may be recompensed, given back for his deeds in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or worthless. That's why it's so powerful that we live for Jesus Christ. Now, go ahead and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And what has he said? He says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. But they do it, and they get this imperishable thing. Well, we do it, we get an imperishable. Now, that's where he's been talking about the athletes. Now he's going to switch and talk about himself in verse 26. Remember, now it's himself. And watch what he says. Therefore, now this is Paul speaking. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave. Now, we'll come back, but he says, I run in such a way not without aim. He says, I know what I'm doing. I have a plan. I run to get the prize. I exercise self-control. I have a plan. Notice how he says it. I run in such a way not as without aim. He says, I do have aim. I do have direction. I do have a plan. I think it's important that we as believers know what our direction and plan and goal and dream is. Or are, whichever how you want to put it. What are they? What do you want to do? What do you want to see God do in your life? What is the goal, dream, and plan for us? Paul knew his plan. You know what it was? On the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ told him, I want you to stand up and I'm going to send you to the Gentiles and you're going to turn them from darkness to light, from being in the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of the dear Son. He says, you're going to be the instrument to go to the Gentiles and take them the message of Jesus Christ. That was his plan. That's what he said. That's why the whole book of 1 Corinthians, what does he say to them? My goal was to win them, was to be all things to all men, to make sure the message was clear and free. That's what he says. He knew his plan. He says, therefore I run in such a way, not without aim. Now let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, I'm disciplined myself. I know what I'm doing. I know the goal and the plan. I like it. He says, I'm not as this boxer who's just beating the air. You know, a shadow boxer, not hitting anything, right? He said, I'm not a shadow boxer. I'm hitting what I'm supposed to hit. I know what I'm supposed to do. He knew the plan. What is our plan? What is our plan? Well, we know as a church and as believers that our plan is to make disciples. But think about this. I think one of our plans is to know and apply the Bible. That every one of us in this room should say, I want to know the scripture and I want to apply it. That's one of the reasons we want to have CBI on Wednesday nights, to make it more convenient for people to come. We've talked to people, and when we have something on Tuesday night and then Wednesday night, a lot of people say, I can only come to one or the other. It's just hard to get out two nights. Well, we've moved it to Wednesday night. We're going to offer at least 7 classes this semester and maybe more next semester. We want you to have opportunities to choose, to look at classes and information and buy Bible studies and things that you can say, this will help me know the word so I can live it out in my life and I can grow in the grace and knowledge of my Savior. The second aspect of our plan is to make disciples. That is the Great Commission, evangelism and training, to lead people to Christ and then train them and equip them. And then one of the third things of our plan is use the gifts in the body of Christ. Use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us. That's what we do. We have to be ready to do what it takes to reach people for Christ. That's why it all goes back to Romans 12, offer your life as a living sacrifice. The only way you will ever, let me tell you, bottom line, the only way you will ever hear Jesus Christ say to you, you are approved, well done, is if you have said, take my life, use me for your glory, Jesus Christ, that's all that matters. I will go anywhere, I will do anything. I know I have eternal life, but I want this life on this earth to count for you. If you don't do that, you're not going to ever hear him say, well done. You're not going to drift through life and think he's going to say, well done. You have to decide you're going to live for him. You're going to serve him. You're going to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that he's given you. You're going to know the scripture and live it out. You're going to make disciples. You're going to touch lives. You're going to impact people for Christ. You have to decide that and then do that. And he'll say, well done. But if you think that just kind of drifting through is one day we're going to be okay, what's going to happen is we're probably going to be ashamed. 1 John 2:28. So be ready. That's his plan. Paul says, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm running in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way, not as beating the air. But here's the key, verse 27. I discipline my body and I make it my slave. Discipline my body. Some Bibles read buffet my body, which means I keep it under control. I make it my slave. The natural man, the flesh doesn't want to do any of this. The natural man does not want to study the Bible. The natural man does not want to touch lives for Jesus Christ. The natural man doesn't want to do any of this. So you have to go against the natural pull of your flesh. And that's why he says, I have to discipline my body. My body does not want to get up. It doesn't want to go to a Bible study. It doesn't want to go to church. It doesn't want to study the Bible. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to pray. Praying is a lot harder. I mean, we just mentioned prayer and 3/4 of the people leave. Praying is hard. Your body doesn't want, you don't want to pray. Let's face it. We don't want to pray. You have to say, I'm going to make myself pray. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to read the Bible even when I don't feel like reading it. I'm going to study it when I don't feel like studying it. Because the truth is, if I only do things when I feel like doing it, I'm not going to do very much. That's why Paul says, I discipline myself. I make it my slave. I get up when I'm supposed to get up. He says, I do what I'm supposed to do. Literally, make it my slave has an idea of I bruise myself. Keeping his own desires under control. We do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do. We do what's right. We do what we're supposed to do whether we feel like it or want to. That's what it boils down to. And boy, it's not easy, is it? If it's easy, everybody would do it. It's not easy. We see the goal. The last part of the verse. I discipline my body. I make it my slave so that, here's his purpose, so that after I have preached to others, after I've proclaimed, after I've taught, after I've done what I'm supposed to do, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, sometimes people, some different translations read it in a different way, and sometimes people get confused. Paul says, listen, I discipline myself, I make it my slave, so after I've done this ministry, after I've done what I won't be disqualified. The word disqualified, I think I've got a thing here, is the word adokimos. Dokimos means approve. Adokimos means not approve. That's two Greek words. He says, I don't want to do in such a way that I'll be disapproved when I stand before my Savior. He said, I want to do what I discipline myself. I make it my slave so that I will not be adokimos. I will be approved when I stand before my Savior. The NIV actually translated that I will not be disqualified for the prize. I think that's what it says. The King James says that I might not be a castaway. And some people get confused with that and they think, oh, so Paul lost his... I've got books, I've got articles in my office where people take 9:27 and say Paul was worried about losing his salvation. That has nothing to do with it. It's about worried about whether he's going to be approved or not. He said, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to make my body a slave. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do so that after I've preached and done what I'm supposed to do, I will not be disqualified. I will not be disapproved. I will be approved. He doesn't want to lose rewards. You remember 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15? You may not think about it, but that's the one that says that when you build with gold, silver, or precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, and it's going to be tested. And if you have what stands left, you'll be rewarded. But if it's burned up, it's gone, there'll be no rewards. He's saying, I don't want to be disqualified and not have any rewards. I want to be approved and have rewards. He wrote that back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he talked about that part. So it's pretty powerful. Paul says this, let's live in such a way to gain rewards. Because God wants us to live that way so that we can win the prize and that we can be approved. Now there's a great thought, and I'm going to really go into detail on this in my Sunday school class Sunday, is that remember the labor is not in vain. When you serve Jesus Christ and live for Him, He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is what? Not in vain. That He's going to reward us. So we stop for a second as we get ready to end here. Now, how are we living? How are we running? Are we running the race to here to get the prize? Are we going to stand before our Savior and be approved and be dokimos and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant? And just remember the rewards that He gives. They're not temporary. They're not perishable wreaths, but they're imperishable. So what have we seen? We've seen Paul talked about the ministry, proclaimed the gospel, and his motive was to trust Christ. But the charge was to live so you can gain the rewards, discipline yourself so you can be approved. Let me give you a quick applications, and then we'll open it up if we want to. Let's live so that we will gain rewards. Let's do it. The goal is to hear Him say, well done. The goal is to be approved. So how do we do that? A, we have to control ourselves. You have to discipline yourself. The idea here is to not live for yourself, but to live to fulfill, not to fulfill the desires of ourselves, but to live for Jesus Christ. Paul says, I control myself. I discipline myself. Everybody who competes in the games, what do they have to do? They had to exercise self-control. What are we going to have to do? Exercise self-control. Get up when we have to get up. Study when we study. Do the things we're supposed to do. I mean, you may sit down and say, listen, if I'm going to grow as a Christian, what do I really need to do? I mean, we'd all know what to do. You'd all say, well, I need to have my own personal Bible study. I need to have my quiet times. I need to get with other believers. I need to study the scripture. I need to take some of those classes. I need to be right. You need to do that. You know what you need to do. And the only way we're going to do it is know what we need to do and decide to do it. And then when time comes, do it. Sort of the Nike thing. Just do it, you know. And you know what Nike means? It's Greek, right, John? It's Greek. It means victory. We can have Nike. We can have victory. Second thing is have a plan. Have a plan. Know and apply the scripture. Know the word of God. Have the goal of making disciples, evangelism and training. Use the gifts. Offer your lives. All of those things. You have to have the plan if you're going to get the prize. So live in such a way that we get the prize. The second thing just to remember is this. Remember our rewards are eternal. They're imperishable. How we live now has eternal results. So we want to run the race looking unto Jesus so that we win the prize and we gain eternal rewards. Because let me tell you, when this is over and you stand before Christ and you're rewarded, the rewards are not just for the kingdom everybody talks about, because we all know that the kingdom on this earth is 1,000 years. But he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And as he says in 1 Peter, he calls it the eternal kingdom. You will live with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And Revelation 22 says, and we will serve him. How are you going to serve him? Based on your rewards, based on your places of service. So just remember, the rewards are eternal. So may our ministry be to make the gospel clearly known and grace. May our motive be that other people would trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And the end results is that we'd be approved by God, hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So may we do that as we discipline ourselves so that we will not be disqualified, but we'll hear him say, well done. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions. Dear Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we see from this passage. And Lord, we just know that we want to live in such a way that we hear you say, well done. So we want to control ourselves. We want to discipline our bodies. We want to make it our slaves. We exercise self-control. We do what we're supposed to do. We have a plan. We know that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We want to know the Bible. We want to spend time with you. We want to use our gifts. We want to do all of those things, Lord. So we want to live in such a way that we'll gain rewards, knowing that the rewards that you give us are eternal. As people on this earth, they run to get a perishable prize, but we have a reward that is eternal. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.